to tell me what when it's gospel? We're just breaking, huh?
Well, yeah.
Okay. You're going, huh?
Yes, we're...
Which
one are we going to talk about
first?
About that. All right. Well, would you like to actually tell me, first of all, just about the commission itself, how you came to get the commission, and what the brief was?
Well, I was in my second year as a Rome scholar in mural painting. It was 1950, and I was working at the British School of Rome. And I heard from Wilfred Quayle, who was Manx architect, that he would like to commission me for two murals and a new nurse's home he was building in Douglas. Actually, I was quite thrilled about this at the time because it was suddenly giving the challenge of what seemed to be quite a major work, so I had to come to a sort of conclusion about what I was going to do. In fact, the one of the Italian Piazza, the mural of the Italian Piazza, was actually completely worked out in my studio in Rome, but not in color. I worked it out in black and white. I remember I was working with a sort of collage technique, using drawing on newspaper, which I would then tear and replace bits of overlay. And eventually I built up the whole composition more or less as it is now. Of course, have been very influenced by Italian, great Italian mural paintings. Rather, the key to the whole story is, of course, that on leaving the Isle of Man when I was a student at Douglas Art School, I went to the Academy Schools. And the Academy Schools was enormously crowded at the time by soldiers returning from the war. And you could hardly get into the life rooms, it was packed to the door. This wasn't any room at all. So I was, having spent the first 3 months drawing in the great drawing school of the Academy, which I thoroughly enjoyed, it was very disciplined, and there was a model, and there was the great sort of sweep of the 18th century life room. I really felt a bit depressing to be crammed in among 50 other people, trying vaguely to see a model through somebody else's elbows or between their legs or something or other. So most people in that time painted pictures of each other, painting pictures of each other, painting pictures eventually of the model. So I abandoned this and found myself in the antique room, where there was one fanatical figure painting furiously enough on his work for the Rome Prize. I'd never heard of the Rome Prize at the time, but this chap was absolutely obsessed with the idea of winning the Rome Prize. And he was much older than me. He'd been in the war, and it was the dream of his life to win the Rome Prize. So he said, "You must pace me. I am going to win the Rome Prize, but you will help me to keep up with all the thousands of things one had to do in those days, all the architectural drawing, the life drawing, the still lives, the great mural cartoons we had to do." So, in a way, it gave me something to do. So I became quite friendly with him, did the work, and to his horror, won the Rome Prize. I was only 18, and I had very little experience of what I was trying to do. However, in Italy, by wandering around, traveling, and seeing the work of Giotto, the Ravenna mosaic, things in Naples, Pompeii, I gradually built my own sort of feel for what I thought painting suitable, and the sort of painting I liked. And in fact, this mural really came out of my experiences in Italy. It also came out of my experience of being in the hill town around Rome. And I think the sort of the figures who inhabit the mural itself are, in a way, sort of figures which are almost like figures in the figures of tarot cards. These sort of they reflect more than they say. And then the rather sinister monkey is a sort of figure of some sort of sensuality, which probably at the time I didn't really think about as being directly or a literal sort of reference. But they build up between and to give an atmosphere to the piazza, which was my sort of interpretation of the place. The literal figure of the priest in the background, the trees, leafless trees beside, the deep terraces, very like the villages which I used to go to. There's one in particular called Anticoli Corrado, where the artists all had studios. And I think this particular mural came directly from my visit there. It was high up above the plains of the Campania, but also many other villages and towns. So it's not a particular place, but it was in fact a sort of amalgam of my memories of Rome. And of course it was painted in Douglas. When I got back from Rome, as I said, I brought my drawings, which were more or less pretty definite what I was going to do. And Wilfred Crowe found me a marvelous coach house. It was a coach painter's place in Apple Street. And at that time, Apple Street wasn't full of property developers and rich, whatever they are, you know, companies and things. It was a strange street of 18th century houses filled with the Manx Bar. In fact, my brother, Nigel, used to work for a firm called Dickinson and Cruikshank.
They're still there.
It is. Yeah. And it was an amazing place. Anyway, they found me this this workshop place, which is on the opposite side of the road to Dickinson and Cruikshank, which is a brilliant studio. And that's where I painted this mural. I started on right away. It took me quite a long time.
Before we go off that particular mural, the figures here, the male and female, the tremendous Italian passion in that, what do they actually depict there?
Well, it's rather difficult to say because it was a long time ago, but I think they were both the murals, I think, very, very autobiographical, and they were feelings of maybe my own feelings of isolation the feeling of, is the man lying down sleeping or dying or is he resting? He seems to have his hands in his pockets actually, but he seems at the same time be causing considerable alarm to the girl behind him.
Yes.
I remember being very particularly interested in the idea which I got from, there's a great painting in Pompeii, in the Villa of the Mysteries, where the whole room is filled with figures taking part in some Deontic ritual. And the odd thing about them is that they're looking at each other across the room. So you, the spectator, is actually intervening with their gaze. And I think, in a way, I wanted the figures the girl in the picture is talking to the onlooker. The preoccupation of the boy playing with flute is somewhat, is giving a different flavor, a different feel of things. While the conjunction of the girl and the man is, of course, obviously related to the dead Christ and the Madonna, Michelangelo. So it is a mixture of all these things. I suppose a young man at that time trying to make sense of all the things he saw in Italy. So in fact, I find it very interesting seeing it again because it brings back the actual thoughts which I had at the time.
Yes, that's marvellous. The actual shape of the mural itself is quite unusual. Was there any particular reason for that?
Well, it actually fitted into the building. The reason why the corners are cut is that it fitted into the shape of the ceiling. So, in fact, that was the only reason why it's shaped like that.
Okay.
It was a functional one.
Yes.
It was above a stage. So, in fact, it was in fact very intense, lively mass of colour above the stage in which they use for concerts and things like that. So that's why it's the corners going off.
Is it actually interesting to see the black and white picture of it? I found it interesting that you said that the original composition was actually in black and white.
Yes, it was.
How did you actually, when you produced it in black and white, how do you translate that into colour?
Well, I think the main thing I was interested in was getting a sort of tremendous luminosity. So in fact, it was painted on what's called a half-oiled ground, which is a tempera ground made with oil, size, whiting, white lead. It gives a very, very intense thing, back undercoat. So the colour was laid on that. It is called mural technique, actually. But the composition, the actual drawing of the thing, was thought of in black and white. And two elements, it was combining the two elements was my main task, in fact. But it actually seems quite reasonably successful. I remember the red shadows, the dark red shadows, were added at a very late stage. They were the last thing I put into the painting. They actually quite, at the time I was rather worried about them, but I think they actually do work quite well. They can suggest some sort of...
They certainly draw the eye into that part of the picture where the
figures
are.
I think it needed them,
Did it actually change much in composition from your original idea, you say, the black and white
prototype? Not a lot. It was more or less the same sort of thing. The details changed. Some of the architecture changed. But in the whole, no. I think the colour changed a lot.
Mm.
But in essence, it was conceived and carried out from ideas developed in Italy.
The other picture has a totally different feel to it. Where did it actually sit in the building in relationship to the other one?
This was the office they used for committee meetings, the room they used for committee meetings. I actually never saw either of them in position.
Mm.
They were put in position when I was when I'd already left the island, so I never actually saw them in situ. The other one was really about the island. It grew from an idea I had in Italy of a lot of these figures. We were talking about the girl and the man being related to the Madonna and Dead Christ. In a way, I'd been working on a piece which was about three figures standing on a sandbank, and they in fact were related to the fence and the cross. There was a young woman, an old woman, holding up the apparently dead body of a much younger man, which I think came from some of the Gothic sense of the cross I'd seen in the hill villages around Rome. So in a way, a lot of the mythology behind these things comes from from that sort of background. But I was also at the time reading Ulysses for the first time, and that sort of wonderful evocation of the Irish shore. Though I was reading it in Rome, it brought my own life on the island intensely into focus, and walking along by the seashore and the sort of autumn evening or something or other was very much with me, though I was actually in Italy. I was intensely affected by Portrait of the Artist, a Young Man, and by Ulysses. So, though this was actually conceived and painted entirely in the island, I think the original ideas were all there before I came home.
So it was a reaction to almost your experiences initially. I mean, there's a lot of sadness in that picture. I mean, it's so melancholy.
Yes, I think that I think I was sort of suffering from I was missing the island, I suppose, and I was in a way torn between two things. I was sort of away from home, and I hadn't really left the island for very long, and I was intensely sort of I remember missing the clear water in the rivers and the sort of freshness and the wind as you get on the island.
So is this actually the island here that
it's
we see?
It's a sort of island, yes. It's a symbolic version of the island. It's rather more sort of romanticized than that.
This figure here is outside the island though, isn't it?
Mm. And is she attainable, unattainable? Why is the man so far out? Will he ever be able to get back to land? Lots of things like the sun reflected in the water. It's fascinating to see it again because it's like so long ago that I'm almost sort of like opening a diary, you know, years later. After all, this is painted in 1951. And, well, that's some time back, isn't it?
Yeah. Was the commission totally independent of the Festival of Britain, or do you know if the...
No, they don't do the Festival of Britain at all, no.
We wondered if the hospital were actually inspired by the Festival of Britain to actually commission a piece of work.
I couldn't say. Wilfred Quayle was very interested in, trying to get some cultural activity on the island. I remember at one stage, later on in his life, he attempted to sort of give some sort of prizes for cultural activity in and outside the island. And of course, his wife created the Arboretum at St. John's. He was a cultivated man. Look here. I'll just tell you, I'm doing a recording of it. I'll see you in a minute. No, there wasn't any contact with the Festival of Britain. It was a very interesting chance to have a go in a mural. And they're the first and the last murals I ever painted.
Are they? Yes. It's actually very important as a piece of work for a public building in the Isle of Man, because there was very little of that kind of work that's ever really taken place.
Mm.
So they're interesting pieces that way. You did talk about the actual technical, the ground. What about the other materials?
Well, they're painted in oil on this half ground, half white ground. But that
is it wood the base though? What's the...
No, it's a hardboard base.
Hardboard.
Actually. Mm. Which is quite a sound base for a thing like that. It hasn't moved.
It has actually been screwed to the wall, as you can see.
Yes.
And has been damaged in those places.
Well, I hope that can be repaired.
Perhaps when you come over, you can advise us on that.
I will, yeah, definitely. No, I'd like to see them back in...
They look absolutely splendid, I must say, on the walls where they are, because they sit there. There are no other works of art in that area, and they just work very well. It's almost as if they've been painted for that.
They probably worked better than they did in the first place.
Yes. Well, it's nice, because a lot of people see them now.
Good.
Every Manx child who comes to to the education department, walks by them.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. I had a funny bringing up on the island, actually, because, I was very deaf as a child. I had some sort of hereditary deafness, and I spent most of my life, by the time I was 14, I could barely hear at all. So, in fact, it's only recently that by means of various operations and things, I can hear. But at this sort of period, these are very much things that someone who can't hear, which I think probably is something which is something I hadn't thought about.
Perhaps the isolation coming
yes,
out
I think in that's
there.
True.
Because these
that's
figures
true.
Are isolated, aren't they, from
they
each
all
other.
Are, yes.
Yeah.
That's true. Mm. Well, I hadn't thought about that.
All right, thanks
okay.
very much.
Okay. You would probably call that one the piazza, and the other one by the sea or something like that, or evening by the sea or something like that. I hadn't really thought about titles. Never did.
So they were actually untitled initially?
Yes, I didn't think of them. I think I probably had lots of stories about them as I painted them.
Yeah.
I can remember the girl going through various stages where I had the whole landscape very windy, and then her skirt was blowing and there was obviously a strong wind. And then later the whole painting became much calmer, and that I remember happening. So probably it did change a lot.
So this particular painting did change?
I think so, yes. I think it did change quite a bit, actually. It is After the Storm is quite a good title for it.
Coming home
yes.
and finding calm at home again.
Yeah.
Were you on the island for long?
I suppose I was there for about 3 or 4 months by painting them, yeah. I came home, I think I was there, they took about three months to do, I think, something like that. But it was a long time ago. I returned to London at the end of the year, having done them. And then the next stage of my career began when I went back to the Academy School because I really had another 3 years to go there, you see. And basically what happened was that I quite accidentally showed a painting to a man in one of the few galleries that were operating in London at that time, and he said he would give me a show. And I worked for 2 years in a studio I'd borrowed from a friend, and that was my first exhibition. But I worked in total isolation for 2 years. With being kept going by my father on a fairly small, but I think it was £5 a week.
Sufficient. Starving in the garage.
Just enough. Mm. Providing I behaved myself. But all the sort of splendors of Italy had to go down to a very rigorous sort of puritanical regime at that time.
Do you actually remember the name of the person who the Rome Prize you prized away from him?
I can't remember his name. I've got a painting of him somewhere over there.
Has he forgiven you?
I think he's called Neville.
Neville. Well, thanks ever so much.
Yeah.